Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Sequel with your hosts, Doug and Jamie.
We are back, and this is the movie podcast where we're talking sequels and we do it in two parts. The first, an interview with an actor or someone involved that made the film worth watching. And the second, a discussion of the sequel, what they got right, what they got wrong, and how it could have been better. I really hope you enjoyed last week's interview with, I would say he's a pretty big-time cinematographer. He worked on Jeepers Creepers, Jeepers Creepers 2. He directed a lot of Seagal movies, so the Seagal stories were pretty rad. And then, of course, he was the director of photography on Munchie, this week's movie. But before I get into it at all, I got to make sure I introduce you to my partner in this sequel-watching journey, Jamie Riccardi. Jamie, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I was doing better until I saw this movie. So, but I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm not too bad. It's really fun. This time we're back in our quote-unquote studio in my office with my daughter's toys all around. So, but no, it's a lot of fun. And we have a guest for this movie. So we said, you know what? We have to watch this completely shitty movie. So why don't we make somebody else watch this completely shitty movie? And it's my good buddy. We go way back. Nick Spadone. Nick, how you doing?
Great. How you doing, guys? I just want to preface this by saying that before I watched this movie, I watched Jojo Rabbit, and it was a complete 180. Yeah,
a good 180, right? Like,
so you say Munchie was better?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about it.
Okay, well, let's. I don't know. So this movie is a sequel, even though you're like probably like, oh, this movie's called Munchie, singular. How is this a sequel? But the original is plural, Munchies. Which to me makes no sense. And if you ever eat, I'm not saying to watch it, but you watch a trailer for Munchies, they look nothing alike.
Nothing at all. And, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it, but I've never heard of this movie. I mean, never. I thought I might have heard of Munchies, but I definitely did not see it. I can't believe they thought it was good enough to make a sequel.
Yeah, this was a pretty life changing experience for me. So,
and to be honest with you, I think a lot of times a sequel, the budget usually is a lot more than, you know, the first movie, because, you know, if they're going to make a sequel, the first one must have been successful. This budget looked like just horrendous. It looked like I can't even describe the budget. I mean, it was horrible. $10 million or $20 million?
No, this movie was $900,000. You're thinking of last week's movie, which was $20 million.
Okay.
It looked more like $900.
Yeah. I would say this, and it's not because we interviewed him. I would say visually, the way it was shot didn't look horrible. Like, honestly, it looked pretty good. It looked like a good film. The chase scenes in the beginning, which we'll get into in a second, actually looked pretty good. You're like, what is this movie? This could be good, but...
No, you're right. The visual was fine. It's the fact that the main character of Munchie was the worst puppet I think I've ever seen in my life. I mean, his fingers don't even move. So his hand, like, flaps wildly. His mouth barely, I don't think, moves or barely moves. It was just, it looked like an animatronic, like a Disney World, that just does the same motion over and over again.
Yeah, it looked like he was kind of rave dancing with his hands. I don't know what he was kind of doing there, but...
He had one finger that kept pointing out. That's it.
Yeah, I would say it was like, you know, when they have, like, bring your daughter or bring your kid to school day? They had that on set for all the times that Munchie's puppeteer went out to get some coffee and his daughter took over. Because there were times they didn't even try matching it. And I'm sure they have... just like an animation movie, what they do is they obviously record the vocals first, then the animators draw it to it. I don't think they did it. I think they filmed it and they're like, hey, Dom DeLuise, just say whatever you want. Don't even get close to matching the way.
To be or not to be, to live in a box or to make merry, party time, arriba.
Who said that?
Me, I did, pal. It's me. You want I should draw you a map inside the box?
And you know what? Honestly, I think you could got a Furby and would have done the same thing.
Yes. That's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of like a vampire Furby.
Well, if this movie didn't come out, maybe two things wouldn't have happened. There would have been no Furbies, and maybe Jennifer Love Hewitt would not have been springboarded because she's in this godforsaken movie.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but...
All right, let's dive right in. So the movie starts off with a car chase scene, and you're like, what's happening? Why is this guy frant? He looks like he was out all night... You know, hookers and blow. He's in like a bit, he looks like a stock trader in New York City, and he's just driving. And then there's this mysterious box with Dom DeLuise's voice coming out of it.
There's also, unless I'm mistaken, because there were parts I didn't see it, but there was a blow up doll in the passenger seat.
Really?
Yes, there was a blow up doll at one point in the passenger seat, or some kind of doll in the passenger seat.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. I was, I haven't seen the first one, so I didn't know where I was picking up from, but I was very confused.
Well, that was a question I had was, how long of this movie did it come out from the first movie? Like, was there a correlation? Like, because I never saw the first one. I don't think any of us did. Right?
No.
So I'm wondering if there's a reason why he's being chased right off the bat, because it's like mid-action. Like, there's no getting into it. It goes right into a chase.
Yeah, and if he kind of looked like in the trailer of Munchies, that's the only 2 minutes I would have spent on that movie, was they didn't look anything like Munchie in this one. Munchie looked like a storyboarded, pitched like SNL character to mock Disney that just didn't make, you know, the show.
And he looks like he's like quadruple the size of the Munchies in the first movie.
Oh yeah,
they're like, because the first ones, they're like the size of gremlins.
Oh yeah,
like this one, he's like a huge doll. He's like maybe they made him bigger because Dom DeLuise is the
bigger boy. Yeah, maybe.
And I didn't know what was up with his haircut. Like what was up with like the.
It looked like Shemp from the Three Stooges.
He did look like Shemp, and he wore multiple outfits throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, I know.
And we'll get into those outfits, but yeah. He definitely wore multiple outfits. So,
so one thing that was really funny. So obviously, this guy's getting chased by the cops, and he outruns them somehow in his old pickup truck. Well, it gets maybe it was old for then, but he gets into the end and he gets the box out. You hear Dom DeLuise, he's like, "Hey, man, what's going on?" And then there's a sign that says "Danger, Bottomless Pit." That's not a sign, because there's really no such thing, right, as a bottomless pit. It's a phrase that is just used for somebody that eats, they can't stop eating, somebody that has the munchies.
Oh, interesting. I didn't see it that way. Nice. Yeah, and you know what? Munchie reminded me of like a frustrated comedian. He just nonstop. Through that whole chasing, he's locked in a box, and all he did was just one-liners left and right. He would not stop talking. And I thought maybe that's why he wants to get rid of him, because he's just so annoying.
Yeah. But the year, it said, what, 1970 or 1972, right?
In 1970, yeah. Because that's actually in my notes, because it basically comes, like, midway through the chasing, it cuts to that 1970, and I said, oh, is, like, what?
Yeah.
What is that?
But was the rest of the movie in present time? Or
I don't get that, because it's not like Munchie aged.
Right, did it say years later, or like had it? I don't remember.
They didn't say anything like that, but I guess you could tell the nails fell off on the keep out, which that we'll get to that. But who the hell is gonna like put something into like an old mineshaft kind of thing, and the kid just pulls it off like there's no nails? Why wouldn't you nail it in?
Not only that, I mean, if you see a sign on an old mineshaft, are you gonna, and that says sit, keep out, you're just gonna keep walking in?
Like, well, that kid, what is imagination, that if you didn't see the trailer before the movie, it makes no sense. Because this kid has an imagination that just goes crazy, but in the trailer it says like, oh, this little kid, Jamie. Well, his real name is Jamie. I don't remember what. Oh, Gage.
Gage. Which Gage. I was questioning. So of all the names you can use, you pick Gage as a name. Has anyone ever met a Gage?
No.
No.
Okay.
I just thought that was something for the size of your ears. I never knew that was a real name.
I don't think it was either.
Yeah.
It's not.
Okay. So, you know, you just mentioned something. You said he had a great imagination. Was he imagining Munchie the whole time?
Maybe this is just like a fever dream or something.
A dream of, a very eccentric child.
So one thing I have to, I texted you guys this yesterday, was somebody for some reason put the title screen. So when they go to the title screen and it's 2 minutes and 17 seconds of teeth, plastic teeth chattering, and the song is in my brain because the song, it was almost like in Star Wars. Like you hear like, and then later in the movie, John Williams, it's actually his birthday today when we're recording this.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, John Wayne.
Happy birthday, John. But and you remember later in the movie, they were like, oh, let's do a different key. It's the same song. This freaking movie does this, and it fucked my mind up.
Well, the credit had, it was the chattering teeth, had nothing to do with the movie. And it reminded me of like Rocky Horror. Had like the beginning. Yes. It looked like a Rocky Horror beginning, but I never seen credits that long to start a movie. That didn't even just change. It just pictured the chattering teeth for 2.5 minutes or whatever, 2:17. Usually like there's a scene or something. It was the most boring credits I've ever seen.
I would have loved to have that job, to be the guy that cranked all those teeth before the credits. And they're like, all right, let it rip. And then get the credit.
Some intern that got paid no money. It's like, oh, here's your job today. He's like, you know what? I quit. And they left the camera running, and that's why they used it.
You know, and when we're talking about the cops also, the one cop was wearing a leather jacket. Do cops wear leather jackets? Like, while they're, like, on the job?
And yeah, and the cop car, too. Like, it looked like someone, like, just bought a used car for $70, and they had to throw on, like, police, stencils on it. Like, it was really, I don't know.
And, you know, when he throws the chest down, I wrote this down, did you notice that the whole shook? Like, the whole ground, like, it caused, like, a minor earthquake of the show.
Well, the camera shook.
The camera. Yeah, but they made it look like it was the whole thing.
No, but it was cool looking at the names, because obviously we interviewed Don Fulteroy, so if you go back and listen to it, or if you listen to it already, it's pretty cool that this is, like, his big movie. This is the first time somebody said, hey, you could be the director of photography. Before this, he only did, like, an after-school special. So somebody was like, oh, dude, this guy can work with kids. He can do it because he sets up all the shots for it. And then it was cool seeing Love Hewitt. So yeah. I would never have known that that's what she used to go by. Wonder when she made the switch.
When she became
Party of Five. After this movie. She was like, I got to change my fucking name.
Yeah, but imagine being like your first movie is something like this. This is probably the best first movie, I think, to start in, though, because it's easy. You know, really, it was like, you know, you don't have to do much,
and
you know.
Really, you're starting at the bottom. Yeah, everything after this is a step up.
So. Well, unless you do like Son of a Mask or something.
All right. So Gage is in class. The teacher's talking about algebra, right? She's going over an algebra problem. And he starts having a fantasy about Jennifer Love Hewitt.
First of all, his creepy stares. He just stares. Like, he doesn't even make it. He just stares at her. I thought it was just bizarre, you know?
And it's a stare that's like dead eyes. He has like the eyes like of a doll.
Yeah. I mean, listen, all guys stare, you know, like, or at least they try to make it like, you know, they're not really looking. He was making it blatantly obvious that he's just staring at her.
He reminded me of the Mad TV or the Mad Magazine. I'm sorry.
Alfred E. Newman.
Why Me Worry? That's what he looked like. He looked like a human version of that.
He definitely was a weird looking guy. Yeah. You know, but what grade is he in?
Like, he had fourth?
Had to be high school, I think. I thought he was in high school.
No, not high school. Like, maybe fourth grade, fifth grade.
Maybe middle. Okay, maybe middle.
To stare that much at a girl like that. Yeah. That's a little weird.
But I love that he has a fantasy. Oh, you know what? I thought he was in middle school in my head. So I'm like, he has a fantasy. He's going through the time when your body's changing. You're thinking about girls in a different way. And his fantasy about her is winning, being named student body president. And I thought it was going to be like, and she was in like a dress kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, I thought it was. And then the principal's there. Like, so in your fantasy, it's Jennifer Love Hewitt at a pageant. It's weird.
Yeah, well, again, his name is Gage. So I don't really expect much from him.
I wrote this note. If you put a red wig on him, he's Annie. He looked like Annie.
Did he make any other movies besides this?
Oh, I hope not. I really
was he in Munchies 3?
He was not in Munchies Strikes Back.
His contract was only for the one. All right.
So the bullies in movies. It's always a blonde dickhead. Yeah. Always
blonde and redhead.
Yeah,
it's always a redhead too. And you know this. You know, first of all, you know, he gets his lunch, and I don't remember ever seeing a lunch that big that they were serving. Like, they gave a huge lunch meal, you know, and this is, again, are we in the 70s or are we in present time?
I guess not. I would think it's 90 by the styles and stuff.
Yeah, early 90s.
Okay. But then you have these two bullies. I never seen bullies like that. Every movie has this. They never have these bullies that are bullying. Were you bullied as a kid?
No.
No.
Were you bullied as a kid?
No. Okay. Not really.
Well,
I flew under the radar, so I kept it.
But there's always that one big kid and the one, like, you know, like, they all talk. This is middle school. Like, I don't understand.
And I love when he throws his lunch. There is not that much food on there to hit the principal. It looked like a super soaker filled with chili.
And you heard a...
Yeah. The fart noise when it hits the principal and the amount of food, it was like a chuck wagon just dumped on him.
And he lofted it, like, across the room. Like, it wasn't like he was close. I don't even think you can get close to, like, his shoes, let alone, like, splatter the way he did.
Yeah. It was just... And then the thing that I hated, so after that, he has, like, a little fantasy in his head. I'm going to call them fantasies. About, like, a firing squad with the principal leading. He gets shot, and then he grabs his chest like he really got shot.
This movie definitely gets a little, like, morbid. I mean, the kid, later on, he's in a coffin, he gets shot. I mean, we're talking about a kid here, and it's all these, like, violent fantasies. Like,
What was the target audience for this?
Oh, I wrote that down.
There was an audience for this?
Like he said that like multiple times throughout the movie. I wish I was dead. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah, the funeral.
Was this in a theater?
Oh, I would think so. It made good money. Don said it made enough money for them to make another one.
If your budget's only $900,000, it's not difficult to make money on it.
Well, it doesn't mean that it's going to make money. There's a lot of movies that you spend cheap money on that don't make money.
If you put it in a theater for one day, you're going to make at least $900,000, right? So that's I mean, I don't know. It's
Of that budget, how much do you think went to Dom DeLuise?
$800,000.
Well, I would say Munchie probably cost about $35 at Toys R Us.
Yeah. So, it was in the trash. They went dumpster diving.
He was at a discount rack, you know.
And Munchie, we don't even see Munchie yet. We have to talk about, so he's leaving school, he's walking, he's sad, he's all by himself, he's walking home, and the friggin' title music playing in the background, just again. And then we have to meet Professor Crookshank.
You know who that is, right? That's Artie Johnson.
Yeah, but what else was he in?
He was in Transylvania 65,000.
Oh,
he's like an old school like comedian, like okay. You know. I know him from there, but he's doing a ton of stuff.
He is a comedian?
I think so.
Okay, I'm just saying.
He wasn't funny here, but
when he first popped up behind the car, I thought it was Martin Sheen for a hot second. I was like, wow, they got Martin Sheen for this movie. Wow, that's really funny.
I wrote Professor Crookshank, aka Foreign Doc Brown. And how about the whole garage explodes? Yeah. He's perfect. Just, yeah. He's fine.
Yeah.
Just a little dust on the face.
And his accent reminded me of one that... So maybe I've seen him in different things. It reminded me of like a Mel Brooks-y kind of
accent. And I think he might have been in Mel Brooks movies. Like he played like... those are the kind of roles he played in the past. But he would play the butler in Transylvania 65,000.
That was him?
That was him.
With... what's her name?
From Taxi.
Yeah, and they were going back and forth. Yeah, dude.
That's him.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah.
He looked like he aged a lot in 4 years or five, 6 years.
What, when did Transylvania 65,000 come out?
Oh, I guess 7 years.
Well, it was in the budget. They had to make him look older.
So I love when he's talking to Gage and he's talking about, like, when are you going to get the car fixed? And then somehow goes on the subject of, like, how's your dad? Have you talked to your dad lately? And he says, my dad's busy with his new family and all. What? Just because people get remarried all the time. The divorce rate's 50%. So you're telling me those kids just don't talk to their parents anymore? They get divorced?
Wiped off.
And why is he asking about his dad if he lives across the street from the mom? Like, I mean, like, the dad's obviously not in the picture. That's kind of like, maybe like the hurtful memories that he's bringing up.
Maybe he wants to perform an experiment on him. Or he wants to get Lonnie Anderson's pants.
Or, I mean, he is like an older man hanging out with a younger child. I mean, just... Kind of
it is creepy. It is like just like Doc Brown. It's that relationship with the young kid, older scientist guy. But
so you're saying Doc Brown was creepy?
He was kind of creepy. Would you want your son at the age of 17? Marty was only 17 in the first one. Would you want him to go hang out in some... No.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want your son to try, you know, go in the future?
Well, if that was a real thing that my son... Would I believe my son? No. Just like in this movie. When these people see Munchie... They're totally cool with it.
Yeah.
Because it's an imagination. They never see him.
We'll get more into it. We didn't even get to Munchie yet. So Lonnie Anderson, who's amazing.
She is, but I'm assuming this has got to be one of her last movies, no? I mean, she made things after this?
Yeah. She was the mom in Night of the Roxbury. No, she was in a lot of stuff.
I know she was in a lot of stuff, but I mean, this is...
When you look at her IMDb, she was a star of a lot of movies in the 80s.
Oh, tons.
I don't know if they were all like... feature films or TV movies, but
she was a Burt Reynolds. She, I mean, I know she made a lot of stuff, but and you know what? And how old was she in this movie? I mean, she definitely wasn't young, but she looked good.
Great.
Yeah. I was saying she looked great for her age. She looked great.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend,
David Hasselhoff.
I wrote down the poor man's David Hasselhoff. 100% David Hasselhoff.
The mustache, and he's wearing like the windbreaker jacket with the pink in it, and it was like Miami Vice.
Lonnie's boyfriend, the poor man's dad. I wrote that down.
And what was up with the professor who's like talking about he injects animals with
cancer? Yeah, dude.
And I was like, wait, what?
Like, yeah, Dr. Elliot over there. He likes to inject cancer. And it's like, dude, this kid, you're making this kid grow up fast. He's already like suffering from a divorce.
He's got no friends, suffering divorce. Best friend is an old man across the street doing experiments. I mean, you wonder why this kid screwed up.
My favorite part. All right, this is the time I really laughed hard. I mean, is there any parts that you guys laughed? Because I really laughed hard when sometimes when Gage would say these whisper comments, So he's talking to Elliot and he said, and about your father. And he goes, don't talk about my father. And like this really stern voice. And I'm like, holy crap. And then a few minutes later, he walks around. He's like, but Bud, I want to make sure that you're okay with it. He's like, yeah, okay with you being such a creep.
And then the creepy kiss, like, can we talk about that for a second?
Where oh, yeah,
he kisses Lenny Anderson and locks eyes with Gage, like, yeah, you know, about to make you a brother or something.
That is
well, that's a whole, that's a total Hasselhoff move.
That's
yeah, and then he just leaves. He leaves the front yard. He doesn't help with the groceries. He says, someday I'll be dead. They'll be sorry. This kid's fucked up.
He really is. And you know what? Depressed. He's still walking around with a dirty shirt from the...
I wrote that. In his fantasy, he's wearing the dirty shirt. So even in his fantasy, he's pretending to be dead. He's getting sympathy from all these people. And he's still wearing the shitty clothes. Why wouldn't he be like, hey, I fantasize in my coffin. I'm going to wear like a blue suit or a nice suit. No, he's wearing a ketchup stained shirt.
The more we talk about this, I'm really feeling bad for this kid.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he really had no chance at all. He really had no chance.
Yeah. All right. So we're Munchie's here.
Well, before that, he had the dream in the coffin.
Oh, yeah.
So so again, we mentioned that before. How disturbing is that?
Where his eyes are clearly open. Like he's like
he was fluttering. Like, his eyes are fluttering. Well, he definitely opens it later on. So I thought like it was just bad like acting because they didn't show him waking up yet. So I'm like, I was telling my daughter, I'm like, his eyes are moving. Like, you know, it's so ridiculous. But then he obviously opens his eyes.
And then when Elliot goes to the casket, he's cuffed. Your mother saw me on America's Most Wanted.
And what was the was it the pallbearer or who was the guy behind, like the mortician?
Oh yeah, he's like you can't talk.
Comments.
Yeah, he was like you can't talk. You're dead. You wanted to be dead.
Just to remind him, like, listen, you're supposed to be dead in this scene, so please keep your eyes closed.
They just kept that in there. He was like, dude, I gotta go. I gotta leave set. Can you just freaking pretend to be dead? And he's like, all right, fine. So, okay, we mentioned a little bit before. So he's depressed. He wakes up from his daydream, and he sees, like, this empty mine shaft. And it's covered by Keep Out spray painted in, like, 2x4s, and he just pulls them off. No nails, nothing. Pulls them off, and he walks down. And it starts, like you mentioned before, it is Dom DeLuise live at the Apollo Theater.
Well, before he even gets there, so they have this Keep Out sign. And it's a mine shaft. He literally, I think, takes 5 steps and he's already in, like, by the chest. Like, it wasn't like he had to go, he didn't have to go far. It wasn't a deep mine. It literally took 5 steps and he's already there.
You probably could have seen it from the Keep
Out sign. 100%.
He was like, hey, what's that chest in there?
So why do they have a Keep Out sign there? I mean, really, it wasn't like, it was just like a closed off cave.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask both of you, would you open up a glowing box?
Not at all.
If I heard Dom DeLuise's voice coming from inside of it, I might.
That'd be funny if he was like, oh my God, Dom DeLuise is stuck in a box.
Then it has to be a big box.
So this is our second movie with something. Did you notice something? It was our first movie, and then now we're revisiting a famous song. Hello, my baby. Hello, my
home. You know what? I wrote that down. 100%.
Another, this is a kid's movie. Why not do Hello, My Baby?
But is it a kid's movie? I mean, there's a lot of death and death talk. Because this is where he says, when he's in there, he goes, yeah, I wish I was dead. So, I mean, you know, and what is the glow that's out of the... Because every time he talks, the glow, like, blinks.
Yeah.
So, what was it? Because you don't see the glow once he's out of the box.
Special powers?
I mean, you kind of do when they're the chase scene at the end, but we'll talk about that. But you see the Jeep.
Oh, the dust?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, a little bit.
Oh, you mean the E.T. scene?
Yeah. Maybe that's his farts. Maybe. Maybe Munchie's farting in
there. There were a lot of farts.
There was a lot of farts. So what were your first thoughts when you saw Munchie? I can tell you, I was watching my wife. Just put it on, not even taking notes. I don't know why I would put myself through this movie twice. I know Nick watched it twice, which is insane. But
when I refused to watch it twice, by the way.
When he started talking, my wife looked at me like, is this real? Because it was not. It wasn't moving.
No.
It looked like an animatronic doll at Disney World that just does the same motion over and over again. His hands move kind of like wildly, but his fingers don't move. He has one finger pointing out. It looks so bad. I wasn't expecting it. I was surprised.
So the first time I saw him, I thought like it was like malfunctioning. Like I thought it was like actually like faulty wiring or something. But then I realized, oh, that's just how he acts.
You know what? No, but maybe there was. And you're like, listen, you know what? We don't have a big budget. We just got to keep going. It ran out of batteries. The batteries are low, and we just couldn't do it.
We just gave $800,000 to Don DeLuise to do this movie. We have nothing left.
Like, if Sesame Street's puppeteering looked like this, it would have got canceled 1 minute in.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, easily. It looked that bad.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
So, Munchie starts talking about his dad. I think it's a few minutes after this. I don't know if it's still in the cave or when they go back to the house. But what he says is, my dad had a pet dinosaur. How old is Munchie? We find out later how old he could be, but he's really, really old.
Yeah, but so is he, because again, this is the sequel, is he part of the other Munchies?
It has nothing to do with it.
Nothing. Okay, so like, so yeah, then I don't know.
Yeah,
but he's so old because we find out later, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
So he sneaks back into the kid's room. The kid runs away from him. He's kind of freaked out. He gets home, he goes upstairs. Lonnie Anderson, total bitch, she says, oh, you know what? You're going to run away. I'm going to give you your dinner, but it's going to be cold. It's like, all right, bitch, just throw it in the microwave. Our microwave is not invented yet.
And not only that, the leftover dinner was eggs. So his leftover dinner was eggs. So again, this poor kid, like, you know.
Maybe it was a poor kid. When I remember growing up, I used to be like, man, I used to tell my buddies, I had breakfast for dinner last night. And then I find out later in life, when you're, you know, drunk and you don't go food shopping, that's when you're poor.
Potato and eggs, yep. I would have for dinner every once in a while when, you know, 100%. But this didn't seem, listen, the house was nice. I don't think it was a poor, I think that's what they served him. He had eggs for dinner.
Cold. And cold. Then he didn't want it, and he goes.
And leftovers. No. Okay. It's one thing making the, you know, eggs fresh, but your leftover is eggs.
No. Yeah.
Cold eggs at that.
And you walk in and you see this friggin' glowing box thing that popped out in your room, sitting in the bed under the covers, watching TV. And he was kind of cool that he did not freak out once at all. He got pissed at him. It was almost like Munchie was his little brother.
Well, would you be freaked out if you saw Munchie the way he looked?
Maybe.
It's not like you see an alien. You're seeing a malfunctioning teddy bear.
Yes.
It's really what it is. I don't think I'd freak out.
Man, I could really go for a pepperoni pizza.
Oh, this scene.
A mozzarella, abracadabra. And then they show the pizza place. And they show this really, he looked like Chef Boyardee. And the Chef Boyardee guy is like serving like his special pizza. This is my special. And then it starts flying away. Why the hell does he have a butcher's knife in his waist?
Just whips out a cleaver and starts running.
And not to mention that no one seems fazed by this. They just get step out of the way. Like, they're the flying pizza flying around the restaurant, the streets, and just people just step out of the way and dodge it. That's all it is. No one looks concerned.
And then you get the POV from the pizza, which is like fantastic. I don't know.
It reminded me of most of Terror Toons and not Lethal Weapon, Naked Gun, the chase scene. Yeah. They did that.
The car.
But now, so I watch these movies and I do it late at night. Wife falls asleep and I put on these headphones. And I don't know if they pick up things that you don't hear normally because I don't watch these movies twice. But did you guys hear a line?
Unidentified flying pizza.
Oh, no, not that one. How about the girl outside that ducks and she goes, let's have Chinese instead. I was like, dude, that was funny. So that was, I enjoyed that.
That was a chuckle.
So this kid wants a pepperoni pizza. And this Munchie's a dick. He gets anchovies. What? So this guy has special powers, but not special enough. That's a good idea for a movie, actually.
Yes.
I'll get you it's like
what, a flying pizza?
No, it's like Leprechaun, what he did in some of the movies. Oh, I want a pot of gold. Then he put the pot of gold in the guy's stomach.
That's what I was wondering. I was, what is he? Is he a leprechaun? Is he a genie? Is he a munchkin? Like, I don't know. A vampire?
He looks like a chipmunk, kind of. If you painted his nose brown, he would look like some kind of, like, mole. Mole man.
Mole man.
Maybe. I don't know.
He's a mix of a few things.
He's a hybrid.
Is this when he farts? Right?
Yeah.
And you remember what he says? He goes, I have enough gas to travel to Cleveland.
Everybody's shitting on Cleveland.
I have to be honest, though. I don't care what movie it is. Anytime I hear a fart, I'm laughing.
Oh, I know. Just board it up. You want to get Jamie into the theaters to watch it. Fast and Furious, he hates those movies. You want to make him good?
It's some more farts, I'm in.
Vin Diesel farting. I live my life one quarter at a time. So this alien, so he says, well, we're going to sleep munch. And he goes, I was thinking I can crash here. Man, I can't even do it, Dom DeLuise. It is like, I love Dom DeLuise, but just hearing his voice is annoying.
Yeah.
It is almost as if it's like Caddyshack 2. It's Jackie Mason-ish.
In a way.
Like just the hammering the jokes over and over again. But speaking of hammer, he has a hammer out of nowhere. So he can't get a pepperoni pizza, but he can make it a hammer.
Well, I think he can. I just think he's a dick.
Oh, right. He did that purposely.
Yeah.
You want a pizza?
Just pranks it.
Now, I know, Doug, you're like the king of impressions.
Oh, right.
Can you do Munchie's snoring sound?
But what? He pulled a hammer out and he goes, oh, I'm going to build somewhere to sleep. He slept in the fucking drawer. He didn't build anywhere to sleep. He opened a drawer, put things in it.
What was the drawer there, though? Was that...
That whole thing was there. Oh, no. If he's going to build something, maybe he's not going to build a dresser. He's going to build a bed.
Right. That's what I was wondering. He just meets this guy and or this thing, and he lets him sleep in his... Like sock drawer? Like what is?
Well, what choice do you have? This guy just brought a pizza from you know who knows how far away. I mean, you know, do whatever you want.
I did like whoever wrote the script. Or there's probably no script for Dom DeLuise.
Hold on, there was a script.
No, but when Dom DeLuise starts ripping jokes and he does like, and he's like, no, Carr Gamble, you don't know who that is? JCPenney, and he goes, oh, I gotta update my material. That was pretty funny. It was almost like. He knew it. They were like, hey, Dom, can we do another take? He's like, dude, I got to go fuck some bitches later. I'm not doing any more takes for you. And he just walked out. Because it was like, why couldn't they just make... I get the joke that he's really old, but he wasn't making any other jokes about, like, Cleopatra or anything.
Right. And you know those kids, if they saw that in the theaters, they were asking their parents, like, who's Clark Gable? Like, who's that?
Well, if there's any parent bringing their kid to see this movie, they should be checked out.
Yeah. So how about the... So we see the principal, and Munchie's like, I'm going to come to school with you. And you see the principal with the – dude, she had huge boobs. And I'm like, I know her. She did a lot of stuff.
This is before the Me Too movement, I would say. I mean, the sexual harassment in that office was unreal.
Yeah.
It has not aged well.
No. It came across so creepy. Like, he was trying really hard.
Yeah.
But obviously, they were in a relationship, so we didn't know that.
Bunny cakes and Snooky poo.
Oh my god, I love that.
Hold on. I think I wrote down a bunch of these. So, the names they were calling each other were Pumpkin Nose, Summer Squash, Bunny Cakes, Snooky Poo, Lovely Lumps, Honey Muffin, Snuggy Bear, Angel Thigh.
That was the kicker.
Strudel Lips and Poopy Doodle.
Poopy Doodle. I love that Munchie goes, I'm going to go to school, because he said, what do you want, kid? He goes, I want to go on a date with, I forget her name, Andrea? Was that her name? I don't know why I thought of that, but I want to go on a date with Andrea. I want to pass. I want to get B's in all my classes, right? And then Munchie's like, oh, I can do that. And then he's able to throw his voice. He's like, hello, come in here. And then he just, what was he wearing? He was wearing like a varsity jacket, right?
One of the many outfits he does wear.
Yeah.
You know?
And then Munchie, the little prankster, all those amazing lines that Jamie wrote down, get played over the loudspeaker because Munchie presses the button. So it's going everywhere. Everybody hears the sexual.
Have you ever called Jamie any of those names?
Maybe Snooky Bunny? Was that one of them? Or Pumpkin Butt?
Snooky Poo.
Snooky Poo.
Bunny Cakes and Snooky Poo. You combined both of them by accident.
Well, that's
so you had Bunny
Poo. That's how exotic.
So you had Bunny Poo. So you called Jamie Bunny Poo?
Yeah.
Okay.
So how is the principal not fired? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, how does he still have a job after his, I don't know, his office?
Well, there's a later part in the movie. How the hell does he still have a job? He goes to a tween party.
With the secretary.
Yeah. Bitchin' party, man.
What are you doing here?
Yeah, we have a lot to say about that party.
And he had a horrible, like, kind of like British accent. But anyway, so.
Well, he also couldn't see that this kid who's kind of a loner is not doing all the things he thinks he's doing.
Yeah.
And he's finger pointing him all the time. So he is a horrible principal.
Yeah, he's really got it out for him. Like the whole food tray throwing incident. And obviously it wasn't him that threw it. So he definitely has a stick for him.
Yeah, and then Munchie is like in the school. He finally sees him. He's hiding like behind like a poster kind of thing. And then he's like, Mutchie, what are you doing here? He's like, kid, I got a lot of things to do. I'll see you later. No, this is the part that freaked me out because Munchie's old. He makes a joke about a dinosaur. And then he goes, hey, kids, where's the cheerleaders practice? I'm like, you fucking creep. You're like 18,000 years old, maybe?
He looked good for his age.
His dad had a dinosaur. So I don't know when his dad had him. But, dude, these are like young girls. And you want to peep on them.
This movie definitely had the creep factor ramped up. Between the stepdad, the principal, and Munchie, it should have been called creepy.
Well, there's definitely a creepy scene coming up when the kid's in a towel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And Munchie's peeping in the locker.
And doesn't he hold up his underwear at one point? He's like, oh, how long have you been having this in here or something?
Yeah.
He
helped. And then the one bully, the redhead bully, Leon, comes in, and he wants to beat him up.
Well, first
of all... Oh, Munchie throwing the voice?
Yeah. So first of all, I mean... What middle school kid walks around in a towel? And you know, the kids don't want to change. I think middle school kids pretend to change. Like they're not going to walk around in a towel, first of all. So this, I thought it was going to get even creepier. Just the way like he was creeping behind him. I thought it was going to be like a real creepier than it was. But then doesn't he throw a pail on his head and he can't see?
No, and he holds the pail on his head.
He does the towel whip.
The
bully whips him, yeah.
Well, I mean, that was a loud snap. I mean, that would hurt anybody. No, a pistol. It sounded like a pistol.
I love that Munchie was throwing his voice again. We saw him do it again. And every time the bully turned, he'd be like, yeah, well, that's right. You're just a henchman for so-and-so. And it's like, then he went back. And then, dude, Gage punched him like it was Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
I can't believe he really punched him.
And tossed him across the room. Like it was a powerful punch.
And then the towel cart that came out of nowhere that he just punched him right into. Like he clearly uppercutted him right into that towel cart. And
well, the best part is when he had the bucket on his head, though, he takes it off. He's walking around like he just got jumped by like five guys. Yeah. Like he was stumbling and he couldn't move around. And
and then he falls into the whole thing of towels. He's in the shower. He gets pushed over there. And then the gym teacher comes in.
Who's wearing a tank top.
He goes, hey, you want to try out for the football team on Monday? Looks like our star quarterback's out of commission.
See, that was the joke, though. They mentioned that three different times. I think, right. Wasn't it Lonnie Anderson's boyfriend said it, and someone else said it.
I want you to go out for that football
team. Yeah.
No, like, he goes, yeah, why don't you go try out for the football team? And then it's the very next day. Or no, then, yeah, the very next day, he's like, so did you make the football team? And it's like, it doesn't happen like that.
He just told him. He's like, I don't want to play football.
I'm not into this. And he sounded like that. I don't want to play football.
Is he still wearing a dirty shirt?
No, he changed.
Okay. All right.
But I love when when the principal walks into the locker room and he goes, I know about your grades. And I think you had something to do with the loud speaker. And all the kids go, hey, Snooky Poo.
So now they have the talent show, right? The tryouts?
Yeah.
Okay. And now this was made in 1992. Does anyone use the accordion?
No.
Like, that was one of the talents, was the accordion.
And she wasn't even playing. The timing of the way she's playing and the sounds, at least there's got to be some child actor that could play an instrument. Just bring him in. Unless that was like the director's like niece.
That's probably what it was.
We can't pay you. We pay you. Well,
she was the one that was moving the puppet for Munchie.
She cranked all the teeth in the beginning of the credits. Yes. That was her.
Okay, honey, crank all the teeth and then I'll let you play your crappy accordion.
But it just, you know what? Even though it takes place in the 90s, they had an old school around them, because even the talent show was doing Romeo and Juliet. Like, who does that?
Yeah, and Munchie, I think Munchie was trying to kill the kid.
Without
the
a doubt.
Yeah, the bully, the blonde bully.
I really expected one of the lights to, like, fall on the kid and, like, serious injuries.
No, but he did the old slip on the banana peel trick.
Yeah. Damn banana peel.
Classic.
Has anyone ever tried that?
To slip on one?
Yeah. No, to slip on a banana peel, yeah.
I haven't purposely tried one.
Why not?
Wait, have you slipped on one, though?
No, but I've done it to people.
Oh, you have? And did someone fall?
He died.
Okay. Thanks, Debbie Downer.
I gotta take this out. I don't want to go to prison. But so right after, I don't think there's really much that happens there. Just Jennifer Love Hewitt again is like laughing at her. I don't even know if they're dating. But the guy says the creepiest thing. He goes, she's mine until I don't want her anymore. And he had that sweater over the tied over
yeah,
sweater.
Yeah, you know, I mean, nothing. If you're going to be afraid of a guy that wears a sweater over his shoulder, then you deserve to be bullied.
I'll be afraid of whoever I want to be afraid of. That is what Gage sounded like the whole movie. God, and then when he goes, I'm going to bring this box. So the kid walked all the way to, because Munchie didn't bring the box to his room. Right. So he walked to the mine shaft, grabbed it, dragged it to probably the worst props I've ever seen. When he goes to see Dr. Cruikshank and he's sitting in his office. The King Tut thing looked like it was cardboard and it was paint. Yeah. And it looked like it was painted so bad. Everything in the movie, they just like went to the vault wherever they filmed this movie, grabbed all artifacts, threw it in there. But dude,
they look like props for like a high school play.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
But you know what I don't understand is, so he wants to get rid of Munchie. But meanwhile, because of Munchie, he punched a bully. He stood up for himself. His name's getting out there. Like Munchie's actually helping him.
He's got straight A's now.
He's got straight A's.
But the principal's onto him.
Okay. Yeah. But you know what though? His life is better.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think the principal, or regardless, is, you know, has him as guilty. So.
So when they show the drawings for when he's like, oh, look at the things on this box. And then he's going through all those pictures. And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. So they hired some guy to draw Munchie into all these like famous kind of photos in history.
Does he look like this? Does he look like this?
What is happening? Well, like, so Munchie's this old. He's obviously creeping on middle school cheerleaders. And just now the guy wanted to. And then that's when I thought Crookshank was going to be evil. I was like, oh man, maybe he's the evil one because he's like, I need to. Can I talk to your friend Munchie?
Yeah, why? He knew something about him. But maybe it's like dog years. So maybe even though he's been around for so long, he's only like 4 years old. In Munchie years, he's like, you know, 5,000.
God, that's amazing. So then he goes home. He leaves the box with him. He tells the guy. And he's like, you'll let me know when your friend shows up. So this is when Elliot shows up for the big date because he's going to propose. We didn't mention it before. He's going to propose to the mom. And he goes, Gage, you make that football team yet?
I just realized. So his name is Elliot?
His name's Elliot.
And they do an E.T. thing at the end of the movie.
Oh.
Just saying. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah.
So they just took the E.T. script and they just erased a lot of it.
And they just figured, well, you know, one scene, that's all.
Elliot was a placeholder, but they never changed it. But I love the fact that he goes, hey, kid, if you can make yourself a ghost during this dinner. And then Lonnie's just fine with her son going upstairs and just not eating dinner.
You see this a lot in these movies. Like the mom totally ignores the kid and just, yeah, you know. But maybe the boyfriend's packing some heat and, you know.
Lonnie wanted the D.
Yeah.
And she just didn't want to eat dinner with her kid. So Munchie shows up. Munchie shows up at the house. And
wardrobe change.
What?
Yes.
Dude, again, this is possibly a kid's movie. And he's making Desert Storm jokes.
Norman Schwarzkopf.
Yes.
Operation Dinner Storm.
Yes. I did laugh at Munchie. I do like those gags in movies. I was chuckling a bit. When he was changing everything, the music kept changing, yeah. The light kept going off, the candle kept going out.
The old match in the shoe trick.
Yep.
That's like a Tom and Jerry thing.
Yes. And Munchie's just 5 feet away the whole time narrating it, and nobody hears him.
So was he the one that, who says, he looked at the camera, it was him, right? What could happen in a few hours? Or
he breaks
the fourth wall and he looks at the camera. That was the first time he did it the whole movie. And says, what can happen in a few hours?
But again, going back to the target audience, there's a line in the movie, he says, that's not the only thing that's getting turned off tonight. So you're like, wait, what?
Is he saying that this movie's bad, you're going to turn it off?
Oh, no, like about the stepdad.
Well, he had tons of, I mean, he had seating for one. He had what a great sport, drinks on him. When he spilled drinks on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Dom DeLuise is not, in his life, he can never whisper. Whisper to him.
He's a fat Italian guy.
And it was just like, are you kidding me? And then again, Elliot yells at Gage when he comes downstairs and says, you're behind this. The kid was upstairs, okay? And Milf Lonnie sends Gage upstairs and then leaves him to go out to dinner.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Well, she felt bad for him at first. And then he goes, oh, let's go to dinner. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She asks his permission. She says, oh, let's just make sure it's okay with Gage first. And she's like, oh, is it okay? We're going to go out for a little bit. And he's like, whatever.
Whatever, mom. You can just leave me alone. I bet you she did that a lot. This isn't the first boyfriend she's had.
Well, the kid talks about death all the time. So, you know what? I'm sure she's a big part of why he's all screwed up.
And I was hoping this whole movie, I'm like, the dad's going to come back, right? And do something. Like his dad, there was no photos or nothing in his room. But when they have a photo on the wall, hey, that's my dad. And like maybe that moment comes up, the dad saves the day or something.
I was waiting for the professor to admit that he's actually the father. Like he was just like, listen, I've been here the whole time, son.
Wow.
That's like an M. Night Shyamalan twist.
There you go.
I'm still at this point, I'm still thinking Munchie's not around and this kid's doing everything. It's all in his imagination. And he's the one doing all the tricks and he's the one doing everything.
So wow. it's like Joker with like the whole
It's like a Fight Club kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Munchie is Tyler Durden.
Yeah.
So I don't know who wrote Fight Club, but did they watch this movie and they go, dude, I can do a play on this.
I think so, because I think Brad Pitt's character name was supposed to be Munchie. And then they did change it because it was too close to the original.
Or that's Brad Pitt had the munchies while filming.
Yes. So I love Munchie goes, I'm going to throw this kid a party. I'm going to cheer him up. And he's like, Munchie, don't do that. So when Munchie does his Jack Nicholson impersonation.
I thought it was Christian Slater. I thought that's what he was, but it could have been.
Well, I think he was just.
Well, he said Jack.
Oh, yeah, but I think it was a bad a person that does bad impressions trying to do Christian Slater, trying to do Jack Nicholson. Yes. That's probably what it was, because I think even Doug could have crushed this impression.
So when he does,
can we get a little Jack Nicholson?
No, we will.
Oh, okay,
but I'm going to talk about. So he uses real names. He goes, "Hey, it's Jack Nicholson." So he uses the real name, okay? But then, why the hell can't he say Hugh Hefner? He goes, it said on the business card, "You and Hefty. Can you send some of your girls over? We're finishing a movie." And I'm like, why the hell couldn't he use the real name Hugh Hefner? That just made no sense. And then the party, the kid sitting in his room, headphones on. And then he goes downstairs. Dude, there's a lot of adults there.
It was mostly adults there. Yeah. And there were like a lot of weird like characters. Like, right. I think there was a pirate. There was like all different kind of characters there.
Clown. There was somebody dressed as a clown.
Was it a Halloween party? Is that
what didn't look like, but I don't think it was. But I just think he just invited people from maybe different times. Because since he's been around since dinosaurs, you know, he has some kind of...
I do have to mention that Munchie did pretend to be Gage and call Jennifer Love Hewitt to come to the party. And she said, can I bring my dad?
I wrote that down. So yeah, that's the first thing I think of when I was in middle school. Can I bring my dad to a party?
Yes.
Chaperones.
Okay. So this part is amazing because we have a little connection to a movie that we did.
Oh, and by the way, there's also clowns there too.
Yeah.
So
hanging outside.
Yeah.
So bring Stevens. Somehow she's a B-movie horror actress. She was in Terror Toons 3. She was in the band, a random part in the band that was playing in the living room.
You mean the full band that was in
the
house?
Wow. The three bands. The three members. Yeah, she was in Terror Toons 3. She was in a bunch of stuff in the 80s, but yeah, she's like a scream queen. She was in Slumber Party Massacre, I believe. But yeah. And then this principal, we talked about it before, the principal's at this party.
With the secretary. Yeah, he brings his...
Well, he figures everybody knows that they're together now, so you might as well just, you know, flaunt it.
Yeah. And he's surprised when he's like, Gage, what are you doing here? Oh, it's your house. Oh. He's just cool with it. He's just like, I'm gonna party.
Can you imagine the adult showing up, be the first one to show up, and you walk in, no one's there because Munchie's hiding. Munchie really hides, even though the kid's talking to him while Munchie's making drinks. So they walk in and they see all these family photos, and you're like, all right, cool, whatever.
And again, no one sees Munchie.
I know. Nobody
sees. Okay. Sees Munchie.
Yeah. And again, the principal knows that who lives in this house. You're gonna go to a student's house and go to a party?
No. I love that. So Gage basically, we don't see him say it, right? Like, hey, let's go outside and talk. Does he say that to her? I don't think so. No, but they go outside, so. They go on the swing set, they're talking. Then Andrea says, my mom died. God, that was just like, again, this is a kid's movie, but now we mention this?
Yeah.
We're kind of about an hour in, I think.
Well, at this point then, I'm thinking like, all right, so that means that Lonnie Anderson is going to get with Jennifer Love Hewitt's dad, which makes it weird that these two are going to be hooking up.
Stepbrother, you know, yeah. Sister.
So Lonnie Anderson comes home. Her son is very weirdly dancing at the party, and she yells at him, everybody out, everybody leaves. And then I know her, he starts talking about Munchie. He blames it on Munchie. This mom, you won't believe me, but, and then we hear Munchie's sleeping on the other side of the couch. And the first thing that Elliot thinks of, not like, oh my god, there's this crazy, nobody screams, nobody panics, he goes, I want to take that thing, throw it in a garbage bag, and operate on it.
Right. He's just like, let me inject it with cancer, please. Like, grabs a Hefty and throws it over his shoulder. And
then a chase scene happens. The Andrea and her dad, he's like, all right, my car. And then they start driving. Lonnie Anderson, very dangerous chase scene.
Well, you know, I think Lonnie Anderson was kind of confused of what she, you know, wanted from Elliot. And then she trips him, don't forget. Yeah, and he goes flying across the room from a trip. you know, and then that's when they started jumping the car and they, yeah, big chasing.
Andrea's dad's like, we could use my car, Miss, whatever her last name, Mrs. And he goes, she's like, okay, wait, who are you?
Yeah. Yeah. And then Gage is in the car with the professor because the professor cooked you. Oh, yeah. That adult was at the party too because he wanted to meet Munchie.
Right. Came up to them while they were outside talking.
Yeah, but he looked normal compared to everybody else that was there. So, I mean, as weird as he looked, you know. But anyone notice how big the steering wheel was in these cars?
Oh, my God. And his Jeep finally is running 2 days before it exploded, and now it's running. But how about Munchie claims to have invented the automobile, and then he sits in Doc Brown's lap.
And then says, I hope you have a ding-dong in your pocket.
Yes!
And the facial expressions from the professor behind him are just really, they're terrifying.
And then Munchie, you know what? Just makes the car fly. It wasn't like a really even panicky chase scene. Nothing, no like high stakes. No, just normal driving.
Well, you missed one liner that Munchie had, and he says, that guy is a pain in the bumper.
Oh, my God.
But then the E.T. scene came in.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they fly.
Right over the moon.
Yeah. And then Elliot crashes into a donut shop. And of course,
cops are there.
The donut shop, the cops.
So many of them. So Elliot's going to jail and Munchie's going to leave. He's going to leave with foreign Doc Brown.
Yes. Yeah. And the ticket checker at the airport was just, she was just not doing her job. Like,
okay.
He flashes the boarding pass through. He goes, okay, here you go.
Yeah. So I don't get it. Like, I know this is pre 9/11 and all that, but they didn't check bags back then at all. He stuffed the guy into a box. And that's not a carry-on. That was a big box.
Yeah.
You're questioning if they're checking carry-on when you have a talking teddy bear, you know, throughout the whole movie.
But nobody cares about it anyway. Nobody's panicked the whole time. So he could have probably, hey, Munchie's going to just walk.
Well, this
on.
Is also the 90s, and you had the Hare Krishnas at the airport, too. Yes. Like, a total airplane throwback.
So everybody's just smiling, right? Everybody's just smiling, watching them fly away. And then the pilots are like, hey, we got to get on there. Oh, but the door's closed. It's getting ready to go. And they're like, oh, Munchie. And Munchie and the professor are flying a plane. What happened? What happened at the end of that movie? Like, and again, the third one, I didn't watch it. Munchie Strikes Back.
Is it the same Munchie as this one?
It's not Dom DeLuise. It's Munchie.
But the same character, like same puppet. Yeah. Same bad puppet.
Yeah, no Lonnie Anderson, no Gage. It's Don Fauntleroy, the guy that I interviewed's wife, plays the mom. But Andrew Stevens is back as Elliot.
Oh, Elliot Carl.
Yeah.
But they used the same puppet, like they didn't improve on it?
They did not improve it at all. Well, I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Well, they probably said, you know, it works so well in this movie, so we might as well use it the next.
They're like, we spent shit and we made money, man. Let's do it again. So, all right, we'll start with our guest, Nick. Nick, would you recommend somebody to watch this movie?
No. I have to be completely honest. I thought this movie was very offensive. And I didn't find it entertaining at all. I found it very,
but not even fun to hate watch, but like this is bad.
Maybe, I mean, in the same vein as like The Room or something like that, like one of those like really like so bad it's good, but like so bad it's really bad.
What do you think would have happened? What would you have done to maybe like fix it in your eyes? Like, is there any way this movie could have been good?
I would have actually had Dom DeLuise in a full Munchie costume. That's how I would fix it. I would just have Dom DeLuise.
God, I love that. That is good.
I mean, that would have fixed everything, I think.
Jamie, same questions?
Absolutely not. I mean, I saw this movie a week ago, and I thought about watching it again as we got closer to this podcast, and then I said, I can't sit through it again. So, I mean, there's bad movies and there's bad movies. This is the one of the bottom ones. I would definitely not recommend it. The only change I would make is get a better puppet. I mean, this puppet was horrendous. I think, you know, Dom DeLuise was Pizza the Hut also, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
That looked better than this. And that was cheesy looking. Yeah. So,
It was cheesy looking?
Yeah, you got it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no pun. But yeah, this is rough. This is, I don't, it might be worse than Son of the Mask. I mean, this is close. This is.
Oh, I would say Son of the Mask. I laughed maybe one time more.
And again, the special effects were a little better there. This might be one of the bottom threes.
Yeah, this is pretty bad. I was hoping that it was one of those really bad movies that at least had like fun in it, but the story was really, it just made no sense. And maybe the dad came back, but it was really just Munchie was the one causing the problems, and then Andrew Stevens didn't know about Ellie didn't know about it until the end of the movie. He didn't know about it. Now maybe if the whole movie, like in the beginning, he was pursuing or chasing them the whole movie, then maybe it would be like, okay, it's like, you know, like a Tom and Jerry, cat and mouse. He's going after him the whole time, and then like, but they only have one interaction really. He makes them do all those stupid things before the dinner. So it's really him kind of just being a bull in a china shop in this kid's shitty life already. I know he makes it better, but the kid is so stressed out. I don't want to do this, Munchie. I just don't want to do it.
You but know, yeah. I think, you know, what we said this whole time, you want to make the movie better, Munchie's not real, and it's all in the kid's imagination. Yeah. And I think, you know, the kid doing all the pranks and doing all the stuff, but thinking it's Munchie, it's almost like a Drop Dead Fred kind of thing, yeah, or whatever. You know, I think that would have made the movie a little better. But visually, I can't watch it again.
And there's a lot of like morbid stuff for being like a children's movie.
Yeah.
Death and
yeah, I'm on the fence if it is a children's movie though. I don't know what the target audience is.
The stepdad telling Elliot that his dad, or the stepdad telling Gage that his dad, real dad, doesn't want him anymore. And
like, yeah, I know. I wish the dad came in and punched Elliot or something like that.
What do you think the target audience is? Like, I can't see it being a kids movie.
Well, he makes really cheesy movies. The guy. Roger Corman, he makes a lot of bad movies. Like he did Saturday the 14th. Not saying they're bad movies, but he's the one who produces and directs a lot of these. So maybe it was just like
one of those, bad late movies. I think are adults looking for like those like puns and like Saturday the 14th is actually a funny movie. So yeah. It's like, you know. So I think, you know, maybe they thought adults would like this movie, but yeah, oh, it's rough.
So this is a segment. So that's it for Munchie. But one thing that I started last movie that I want to continue doing is there's this website called Common Sense Media. Have you guys heard of this before?
No,
I use it all the time.
You really do use it?
My kids. So it's
but awesome. You don't still use it.
No, I mean, my daughter, like once in a while, like it depends on a rated R movie, because it tells you every sex scene, every, you know, I do more for like the sexual stuff, but it tells you breakdown of every curse, every like sex scene, violent and all that stuff.
Okay. Well, it's very nice to use it, but I think it's pretty ridiculous because there's some things, maybe obviously sex scenes, if there's like something bad that kids shouldn't see, but listen to this. This is what parents need to know about Munchie. Parents need to know that Munchie is a 1992 movie featuring Dom DeLuise voicing a strange gremlin style creature. It's almost so bad, it's good type of kitschy movie. But the scenes of drunk driving, of keg beer, served at what is supposed to be a party thrown by a tween, and the bullying makes this one difficult to get through. Couple all that with bad special effects and a cliched storyline, not even lovers of dumb movies will find this one worthwhile.
Well, on that side also, you have children or young people that also write reviews. Mm-hmm. Was this a Dom DeLuise starring vehicle, though?
Well, he's the voice. He probably has the most lines.
I guess.
But yeah, so that's Munchie. Next week's movie is going to be amazing. We were lucky enough for months since we started this whole mission project, the journey. We wanted to talk to Robert Hayes of Airplane and Airplane 2 and... He's been so much over the years, and it was really cool that we finally were able to get him. His PR agent, I hounded her, and she'd be like, 2 weeks. And then I email 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, and I finally got him. He was awesome. He took more than an hour to talk to me, so we talked about his career. And yeah, next movie, we're going to talk about Airplane 2, which we'll see if it holds up. So don't forget to review, rate, share our podcast. Follow us on all social media at SequelsOnly and check out our website, sequelsonly.com. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.